A reading from the Book of Wisdom. There is no God besides you who have the care of all, that you need show you have not unjustly condemned. For your might is a source of justice. Your mastery over all things makes you lenient to all. For you show your might when the perfection of your power is disbelieved, or in those who know you, you rebuke temerity. But though you are master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. For power, whenever you will, attends you, and you taught your people by these deeds that those who are just must be kind. And you gave your children good ground for hope, that you would permit repentance for their sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the sound of my pleading.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
All the nations you have made shall come and worship you, O Lord, and glorify your name. You are great and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
You, O Lord, are God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and fidelity. Turn toward me and have pity on me. Give your strength to your servant.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings, and the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may worthily proclaim his holy gospel.
Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
Alleluia.
And of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." His slaves said to him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" He replied, "No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then, at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" He proposed another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches." He spoke to them in another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world." Then dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." They said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is a very special day. It's a special day in the life of the church throughout the world. And it is a special day and has deep meaning for our society and for our world in general. Back in 2021, Pope Francis inaugurated what was termed World Grandparent and Elderly Day. Today is the day in which the Church Universal throughout the world honors grandparents and the elderly. And it is such a crucial and important day today. And the theme for this year is His mercy is from age to age. And correlating to that is also from the Gospel of St. Luke. Mary left in haste to be with her kinswoman Elizabeth, who was now with child. The importance of intergenerational integration and oneness is so crucial today. We are so inundated today with the notion of division, polarization, black and white, rich and poor, red state, blue state, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. Go on and on and on. Yet, we have also fallen into the idea of intergenerational division. Young and old, parents, children, parents, grandparents, that the Pope is calling us once again and reminding us that we are stronger together than we are alone. And in the words of Jesus, echoed by Abraham Lincoln in the time of the Civil War, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We have become too comfortable today, living on the battleground, and therefore we ignore finding common ground. We walk around today too often like porcupines, our quills, just ready to fly. And there's a kind of anger and coarseness in the cultural atmosphere today that is poisonous. It's poisonous not only to our lungs, it's poisonous to our soul and to our spirit. We have become more comfortable speaking at one another rather than with one another. And we're overlooking the tremendous treasure of grandparents. The gift of grandparents and the gift of their children and their children's children. The tremendous gifts there that we have lost and forgotten. Every society, every family, every community lives in the web of time, community of memory and the community of hope. And both of those together enrich the present. Grandparents offer children, grandchildren today, what is so important. So many young people today grow up and they do not see their lives as part of a larger story. And grandparents are the tremendous keepers of the flame of the generations. If you want to test that out, and if you want to get young people away from the gadgets that we seem to worship before today, you know, those things we carry around with and we get carpal tunnel syndrome. You ever see these people? It's amazing. They remind you of rhesus monkeys that are trying to get the treat coming down from the thing, the way they punch it up like that and so on and so forth. If you're fortunate enough to have your grandparents and they have the family album, I guarantee you they'll put away those phones and those things, take out the family album, and go through the family album and show their mother and father when they were exactly their age. And hear the stories. See the connectedness. Yes, that was your father when he was 10. And he was just as mischievous as you are today. They never say that about the daughters. It's an amazing thing. Yeah? Never understood that. But anyway, I digress. In many ways. But and it's fascinating because so many young people today grow up without a narrative, the narrative of the culture, which changes from moment to moment, the narrative of the peer group, the narrative of the celebrity. And they have one of the greatest and most important narratives. Generation upon a generation that said to them, you are wanted, you are loved, and you are part of something greater than yourself. And grandparents are living testimonies to that. They share that young people are not alone. They're not just hanging out there. And this idea that has infiltrated much of modern philosophy today, that we are thrown without a thrower. We are just thrown into existence as some kind of cosmic lottery. And you just happen to be plunked here. God made each and every one of us as if we are the only one. And God has made us for a purpose. God has crafted us individually. and loves us individually. And God loves us into eternity. You do not have to worry about being someone else. We don't want someone else. We already got one. Can you imagine another me? You wouldn't. The only problem with that is I have to wake up every morning and look at me and wonder, why would anybody be on Facebook? This face I have to look at, I have no choice. But we don't Xerox people. You don't have to be somebody else. You are woefully inadequate to be somebody else. You will always fall short of being somebody else. But you're depriving the world of the gift that God made you to be if you spend your life being somebody else. Your sister, your brother, the neighbor across the street, the fellow office worker. What generational memory does, and the grandparents are the keepers of the flame of love, through that web of time, is that you are loved within something greater, and you are also loved uniquely for what you add to that flame. What a tremendous gift that is. And what a tremendous gift young people are. The community of hope. Community of hope. Stay young, be around young people. Yes, yes, the excitement. Yes, the adventure. Yes, the errors and the mistakes and the uncertainties, all of the anxieties that go with that, all of the challenges. I'm so tired of hearing today, frankly, and having been mainly in education for over 50 years, from elementary school to professional schools and graduate schools and all of these other points in between, of today how bad young people are, how misguided and all this other sort of stuff. Frankly, I'm amazed that young people today are so good. My generation, back in the 50s, 1950s I might add, I see some of them going, 1850s, he knew Lincoln. We're taking your name, I want you to know that, and find out where you live. And with a name like Maestri, we have friends and have ways of taking care of that. But young people today realize the tremendous pressures and challenges that they face today. In a world that was unimaginable to my generation and just a couple of generations ago. Parents today have a tremendously difficult job. Parents today cannot protect their children from this world. What they can do is prepare them by giving them a defensible framework of values, a Christian, Catholic way of life, and by giving them that example in a world that so desperately has gone off its gyroscope. You can't protect, you can't place your child in a bubble, and no responsible parent would want to do that, but you can prepare them. And young people, They're hungering and thirsting for that. And they're not going to find it in the shopping mall. They're not going to find it on the street, in the peer group, in the celebrities and the sports figures. The greatest place is to find it is in the home with loving parents who love and respect and nurture one another, who make a house a home, who provide not simply food on the table, but food for the soul. That intergenerational ability to come together. And our readings this morning, our reading from the gospel, you know, wheat and weeds, mustard seed, and the idea of flour and yeast all speak of the importance of patience, The patience of allowing things to grow and to develop. The weeds and the wheat. The rash answer. Pull them up. Get rid of them. Do the last thing first. And the wise farmer says, no, don't do that because you're going to destroy both. Young people have to be allowed to make their mistakes. They're going to get brush burns. They're going to come up against the headwinds of life. And there is always a little bit of the good in the worst of us and a little bit of the worst in the best of us. But in a home of love and of proper care, aided by grandparents, grandparents who have seen the generations, What a tremendous gift to have that voice there, that experience there, that intergenerational wisdom that comes. It's too precious, it's too valuable to discard, to pass away. We don't want to do the last thing first, become like Pilate washing our hands. The young are not living up to our expectations. The old are too slow, too out of date. If we can see each generation as a gift to enrich the other, the mustard seed, little small thing, about the size of a head of a pin, and it grows to be one of the largest, if not the largest, of shrubs from that little mustard seed. If little stones derail big trains, little mustard seeds of kindness, of understanding, of example, they help even the smallest of us grow into ways unexpected, in a time and a place unknown to us. And yet, in God's time, they flourish and they develop. If given the right nurturing and the right environment. And what a blessing parents and grandparents are to the young, and the young are to them. And the flour and the yeast, put it all in there, kind of knead it, get it all together, and it rises. Invisible, unseen. Right now, you are the yeast, parents and grandparents. What is it going to be? I have no idea. It's the great mystery and the great adventure of life. Do you really want to live in a prepared script? This is not a Hollywood production. It is the buzz, bang, and boom of life. But that's what makes life worth living, is that it is an adventure. It's not prescripted. Each life writes its own book. Each page is ready to be written by you. And what will happen? And we pass those books in the library of life along as we go. Today is an important day. It's a day of calling to mind the things that really matter. And if you bear with me for just a moment, and I'm going to end on this. There's a wonderful poem by the great poet Robert Browning. And it was written on the occasion of a eulogy to a friend of his, Rabbi Ben Ezra, and was written in 1864. And I wrote down, because I wanted to get it right, I wrote down a few of the lines, if you bear with me, because I think it reminds us and touches so much on what today is and why it is so important and special. Browning writes, "Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in his hands, who saith, a whole I planned, youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid. So, take and use thy work, amen what flaws may lurk. My times be in thy hands, perfect the cup as planned. Let age approve of youth, and death complete the same. All time is in your hands. Trust God. Be not afraid. Be not afraid."